Greetings. Before we get into this episode of the saddest podcast on earth, just a little disclaimer up top here. So we actually recorded two episodes of this podcast before Disneyland opened up. And then for whatever reason, we all got a little busy and we just sat on them. And there they've sat, gathering dust for a while. And now it just feels like it's the time to release them to you guys. That being said, let's get into this episode of the saddest podcast on earth. Enjoy.
Your attention, please.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Is this haunted room actually stretching?
Yes, Marcus.
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
There's no turning back now.
Alrighty, I'm Ryan Bergara, and welcome to the saddest podcast on earth, where three grown adults commiserate over their separation anxiety from the happiest place on earth during quarantine. Each episode, we'll work through our sorrow by breaking down Disneyland by category and then discussing our consensus top five things in that category, as well as what we believe the singular worst thing in that category is. And today's category is vehicles. Just a couple disclaimers up top here. First, we're only covering vehicles in the Disneyland Resort, so that's Disneyland proper and California Adventure, as well as hotels and Downtown Disney. Second, we defined vehicles as anything that is literally a means of transportation. So for example, the horse trolley qualifies. Third, we missed Disneyland, but we're not here hoping it's going to open before it's safe to do so. We made this pod as a therapeutic device to talk about Disneyland until it can safely open. Fourth, since I, much like many, have not been on Rise of the Resistance yet, it is disqualified from being listed, as I know it probably would be if I had been on it, whatever. And finally, this list is once again a consensus among the three of us, formed by a point system. So we each made our own top fives, and a ranking of first is worth 5 points, a ranking of second is worth 4 points, and so on and so on and so on, and then I tallied the scores to create this aggregate ranking. As such, only I know the contents of the list, and the rankings will be revealed live to the other two. Speaking of the other two, I'm joined today by Byron Marin and Amanda Pham, who are the only two people I know that have an unhealthy obsession with Disneyland like I do. And between the three of us, we've logged an alarming 2,000-plus visits to the park. All that being said, vehicles, trying to get back into the swing of things here at the Saddest Pod HQ. This one was a tough one for me. I'm not going to lie.
There's just so much to consider.
You would think this would be... I mean, all these topics are objectively stupid. But this one, for whatever reason, I thought was more stupid than usual. Therefore, it would be much easier to list my top five here. And I had to kill some babies when I was making my list. You look very pensive, Byron.
Yeah, I think my first two or three... I was rolling, like I was pretty firm with those decisions, and then like 4 and 5, you're kind of putting them in there, and then like 10 other things kind of like cross your mind, and it's kind of this balance of what was something that was like appeasing to my eyes when like that I grew up with, that doesn't really, that kind of lacks in function.
Yeah.
As opposed to like rides that are like really kind of trailblazing, you know.
I was struggling with that as well. Like, do I list something that's more nostalgic that obviously I have great memories attached to, or do I list something that's like cutting edge in terms of pushing the ride industry forward in terms of that vehicle and the tech that it brings? I think I bridged the gap between the two of them. But I will say that there was almost little to no overlap between all five of our lists. And consequently, that means we're going to have a lot of ties for this one. We're going to have a first, second, and third. And then we're going to have a three-way tie for fourth. So we're actually listing six things today because there was a three-way tie for fourth. Yes. So I'll go 4 A, B, C, which is going to be really fun for the listener. Okay. Let's just jump right into it because we have an extra item on the list today. Let's go to 4C, and this is in no particular order. This is just kind of how it worked together in my notes app. But number 4C, and it feels sacrilegious to have this at the bottom, but it's the Haunted Mansion Doom Buggies.
Oh, shit.
and that is the 4C. Now, I did not have this on my list. That may come as a shock to some of you. Let's start with Amanda. And Amanda, this was number, looks like it was number...
Was this my fault?
This was number 2 on your list.
Yeah.
You did it, Amanda. You muscled it on
single-handedly.
I think this is, that's interesting that you say that, because I went for, my list is based on, like, the vehicle makes the ride as well,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, the look of it, exterior, interior, function, that's, like, part of the identity of the ride.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
the Doom Buggy is completely, like, to me, I think of that with, like, a ride-through or Haunted Mansion ride. Yeah. The vehicle.
That's a fair thing to say because it actually is mentioned in the ride VO. It's actually built into the story.
And now a carriage approaches to take you into the boundless realm of the supernatural.
The Doom Buggy name is pretty iconic. I actually think also for the time, this was a pretty revolutionary ride vehicle in terms of rider capacity. It wasn't the first of its kind in that
sense. It's the Omnimover ride system.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was like kind of what I was saying at the beginning here is like functionality versus...
Yeah.
Right.
Like as a kid, it was so... And it is, you know, I would make an awful impersonation of the line that said to start the ride about lowering the lap bar, but Ryan's going to play this clip for you right now.
Do not pull down on the safety bar, please. I will lower it for you.
There it is.
See, that's a sound that's like iconic.
Which is why I did have this as my honorable mention. But it is a pretty standard Omnimover. It's very similar to, you know, a modern version would be maybe Buzz Lightyear, Adventure Through Inner Space before Star Tours replaced it back in the 80s.
The Little Mermaid ride also. You got your little
clans. But they are people eaters.
It's funny because back in the day, they used to be people movers. You know what I mean?
But
it's a little ride humor for you guys out there. I know you like it.
The shell is not as like impressive for some reason, but it's like the same shit.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that ride just is not as impressive.
Yeah.
And fun fact, Haunted Mansion was originally going to be a walkthrough attraction.
That is true. You could see remnants of that. We've talked about that in past pods, but yeah, you could see that when you look at like the portrait hallway and even the stretching elevator, like it all, oh my God, there's a basset hound that just walked into the park and it is a fucking star. anyways, you could see that it definitely was originally conceived of as a walkthrough attraction. That is a chunky, chunky basset hound.
His stomach is almost like brushing.
His nipples are almost to the ground.
That guy looks like a fucking just gelatinous snake slithering through the grass. Holy shit. Anyways, it's a good ride vehicle. It's not reinventing the wheel because I don't believe it wasn't the first Omnimover. I don't actually know what the first Omnimover was. Now that I think about it.
It might have been Adventure Through Inner Space.
Maybe. but it is of that time. Maybe the best version of that when you combine how do we get a shitload of people on a ride out from you know from not crowding up the park while also telling a great story. Mm-hmm. You have anything else more on this great English there? Do you have anything more on this, Amanda?
No, just that it's the identity. It's part of the identity, which is why I put it there.
It's written into the DNA of the ride. That is fair. All right, let's move on then. Let's go to 4B. Another kind of like chill banger here. And this is a classic. This is The Railroad.
It's a classic choice, and that was so hard not to include on my list.
It was not on my list as well. This was on Byron's list. It was at number 2 for him. It was at number 2 for him.
Nice.
I mean, it's pretty classic. Goes around the entire park just to kind of honor Walt. His obsession with trains was kind of what started the brainstorming for what would become Disneyland. So
this guy loves trains. He
loved
trains.
And you love dinosaurs.
He
really
loved
trains. I did love dinosaurs very much as a kid. So seeing the primeval world, that was what I was. Oh, by the way, update from Google. Adventure Through Inner Space was the first attraction to feature the Omnimover ride system. It was in 1967.
Nice.
According to Wikipedia, actually, so take that with what you want.
Well, that's the amount of research and quality that we adhere to over here at Saddest Pod. We'll type it in on our phone on Google, and if we could verify it through the first two items we see on Google, It's a fact.
We gave ourselves this name for a reason.
Yeah, we went to the Donald Trump fact-checking school of America. If I said it, it's probably true. All right. The railroad, you know, I like this pick. It's a classic pick. It's one of my favorite rides. I struggled really hard to not put it on the list. And this was where I was really at a crossroads when it came to nostalgia versus tech. And I could see why you put it on there. I love sitting on this thing. I usually sit on it when the lines are very long and I just kind of want to chill out and eat popcorn or something, maybe a pickle. But I think what it came down to for me on my list is I tried to list things that I could not find similar things in other parks, whether it be other Disney parks or, you know, other theme parks in general. And I feel like you could find a train at, you know, most places. Like, this isn't a special train, is what I'm getting
at. It's kind of a special train.
Is it?
I think so, right?
It's on a track.
It's a special train if you want it to be. Apparently, you could reserve that back caboose.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess.
Take some notes for your next
date
night,
Ryan. And there
was,
like, a train, like, a part of the train that's for his wife or something.
It's a thing that rides on a track. And it looks like a train. So, I mean, like, you look, I'm not shitting on the choice. I'm just saying it's a...
That's why you didn't, yeah.
That's ultimately why I did not put it on. Because
what would you
I was
say
like,
is, like, the first
it.
Vehicle you ever saw entering Disneyland?
The first vehicle, well, obviously, it's the train.
There you go.
I guess, well, technically, if you're going to go for Mickey and Friends, it's the Mickey and Friends tram.
Oh, man, we should have got that on the list.
I thought about it. I thought it'd be funny.
Me too. But I was also like, dude, it also reminds me that it's, like, cold.
Yeah, I actually hate that train.
Yeah.
That's why you got to have that cup of hot cocoa on the way out.
I almost never take it. I almost exclusively walk to Mickey and Friends.
Yeah.
Because I prefer it because I don't like freezing my ass off. There's something about that tram where it just, it feels like it drops to sub-zero temperatures.
If there's five people waiting in, like, the little pocket of, like, you know, to enter,
yeah.
I'll just be like, yeah, I'm walking. Even though you know that walking, you still might, it might take longer. Just something about it, like, taking it into your own hands.
And that's saying a lot, too, because that's coming at the heels of a long day at Disneyland. And it's,
right.
It's your legs are tired, your dogs are barking. And the last thing you want to do is walk more to go home, but... It's better than sitting on that tram. Anyways, I get it. I get the railroad pick. Little uninspired.
What?
Little on the nose for you? What? Aww.
It's a train. I don't know. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's go to 4A. Just being an asshole. You know what I'm doing? 4A. Now, speaking of technical rides, number 4A is... after this child passes. It's a Radiator Springs Racers, the ride vehicle. Now, this is the same technology that they use at Test Track, I believe. And look, as much as I really do hate this franchise, and... I actually like the execution of the land. I hate this franchise, though. But this ride vehicle is something else. The ability for it to start and stop... and accelerate with pace is unmatched by anything else in the park. It really is an amazing piece of machinery. Because it does feel like I'm feeling a tactile response from the road when I'm in the car for some reason. Yeah, I just love it. It's crazy. It's the perfect ride vehicle for that shitty franchise. Any thoughts from you two? Because this was not on either of your lists.
Yeah, I was going to.
It almost got there.
Yeah.
It definitely crossed my mind. I love that ride.
It broke my heart to list it. I'll say that. I didn't feel good about myself.
See, that's
why
I didn't.
It's a good ride.
Because it was Cars, and Cars doesn't deserve to be on a list.
Yeah, it's... It deserves to be on the list,
but
you don't want it to be on the list.
It's the best thing that California Adventure's got.
Yeah.
In terms of theming and immersion, Cars Land is the best, you got.
It's pretty fucking cute, though.
Yeah.
Exterior, great. Kind of clever with the windshield, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a well-designed vehicle. Yeah. Great ride photo, too. But yeah, it's...
It duels.
And the dueling vehicles is really cool. The only other... It's one of the few rides in the park where you could actually see another vehicle in action while you're on the ride, which is a really cool novelty, let alone racing it. Because the only other rides I could think of that have that are, Roger Rabbit, Not many others, actually. Maybe there's a glimpse of another ride vehicle in Indy at some point, I think, when you're in the like the lava area. Anyways, I digress there. But let's move on, because not a lot to say on this one other than the fact that it's a fancy piece of tech, and it works.
Yeah. Boring.
Okay. Let's move to number three here. And this is a great one. And now, from here on out, these next three are items that were shared between at least two people of the three of us here. Okay, so number three is Jungle Cruise. Great ride. Great ride here. I listed it at number three, and then Byron had it at number five. And Amanda didn't have it on her list.
I was so close, and then that was one of those that I'm like, oh, it's a boat at the end of the day.
Well, let's hear you defend your choice here. Let's start with you.
Oh, no. It was so hard not to include it, because I love that ride.
It's great.
But I was like, the other ones just fucking pushed it over.
The
other top five.
Yeah, how could you list it over teacups? You know what I mean?
Dude, the feeling I get? Dude, I cry thinking about being in that teacup.
Yeah.
I get it. Teacups didn't even cross my mind.
Teacups was on my top 10, I won't lie. That ride does make me very happy, and I love the funny little music that it plays in the queue, but come on.
Without teacups, though, without those fucking teacups, no Disneyland. I feel like teacups is part of Disneyland. If you were to take away something, you can't take away teacups.
I mean, you could.
You wouldn't be sad if they got rid of
teacups? I'd be sad, but I wouldn't be like, well, let's shut down the park. Let's shutter Disneyland because they've decided to take out the teacups.
Save me a couple migraines, maybe.
Yeah, I'm good.
Not going to lie, though, I'm biased because I like the sombreros at Knott's.
Oh,
it's the same shit, but that's what faster.
Yeah, speaking of rides, ride vehicles that are unique.
It's not, but...
Pretty dime a dozen here.
Love it.
Anyways, I'll start here, if anything. Jungle Cruise, the reason why I listed this, I was talking about ride vehicles that are unique. I really cannot think of another ride vehicle that exists outside of, like, obviously other Disney parks that have the Jungle Cruise that is this ride vehicle. It's a boat that has a motor. I think it's on a track, but it makes you feel like you're not on a track. So it's not like a canoe. It's not like a log flume, or it's not like the pirate's boat. It makes you feel like you're actually on a motorboat going through the forest, or the Amazon. And I appreciate it for that. I think it's very unique in that sense, and I don't think you'll find anything like this anywhere else. And you couple that with the fact that there's a skipper that is interacting with elements, using the ride vehicle. Pretty hard to top that in terms of a unique offering. That's why it made it on my list.
Is it the Amazon?
I think so.
Why did I think it was more like Nile-based?
It could be Nile. It's there's a joke about, like, if you don't believe that, then you're in denial. But
I don't think they specify.
I don't know if they know where it's.
I'm just trying to think, because, like, they show a tiger, which I don't. I think that's.
Yeah, that's
more
true.
Like India.
I don't think that's. Yeah, I don't think that's native
Asian.
to the Nile.
You're
right.
Just blend them. I don't know.
Well, whatever. You're in like some sort of rainforest area.
We'll have to hit up that Wikipedia soon.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we've done plenty of research before we get into these lists.
But you're right. The boat is, like, completely the ride. Like,
yeah.
It has an entirety. Without that boat skin that way, it's not really Jungle Cruise.
I mean, I'd say for most of my life, I was convinced that they were steering that thing.
Me too.
Me too.
Me too.
And are they still giving it gas, though, or is that fake, too?
It might be fake, but if it's fake... It sells it. I mean, everything about that ride vehicle is to sell the narrative,
like
that you're
the sound,
on this.
You,
like,
feel the thrust, like when they.
Exactly. Yeah, you feel. I would like to believe that it actually is gas powered, and that they can give it a little bit of a bump, but it's all story based, and that's the best ride vehicles. Listeners can't see this because this is not a video podcast, but Amanda right now looks like she's really getting down on herself for not putting it on her list, because she's.
Oh yeah.
She's seeing that we're making great points here.
No,
and,
you are.
And frankly, I'm not going to throw...
It almost didn't make mine, though, but I had to pluck that
Byron's
opening disclaimer off the...
Byron, for what it's worth, Byron did have Rise of the Resistance at number one, and then I told him he had to take it off. So,
which is fair. There's a lot of, you know, Rise of Resistance was only operating for 2 months, which means 50% or, say, 10 of our listeners might be... might get it spoiled, so it's fair.
It was a pretty exclusive group that got on that ride. because of the fiasco to get onto that ride. Such a pain in the ass. The average listener is not going to be on that ride. But yeah, Jungle Cruise at number three, highly deserved. Snuck onto Byron's list at the last second. It was his number six, but moved to his number five when Rise of the Resistance was taken off number one. Let's go to number two here, and that is Big Thunder Mountain. This was actually not on my list, but it was on Byron's at number four, and it was at Amanda's on number three. So, Big Thunder making its way there. Let's start with Amanda.
Good job.
Where were you, buddy?
Yeah.
I mean, look.
Like, I was afraid I was putting it low, but.
Well, here's the thing. When you list something, you're supposed to make an argument of why it's on there. And what you two came up with was good job and where were you? So I'm feeling pretty good about not listing it at this moment.
It is the most aesthetically pleasing roller coaster potentially on the planet. Here, or if not one of the most aesthetically pleasing, where it is so integrated with the actual rock work, the fact that it has a full-on authentic, like, train front.
Yeah, I guess I didn't go off aesthetics that much. I went more so for, like, the function of it.
The carts look like box carts.
I mean, functionality, it's probably the smoothest train, like, high-speed, like, ride train. It's pretty smooth. And it, like, creates this, like, when you go through the tunnels, like, I think of, like, how well it's built to make you feel like you're,
they're
like,
sweet-looking vehicles.
I don't know.
But that's, like, more the ride layout, not the vehicle,
but
what you just described.
But it's how they laid out the vehicle's part of it, I think.
I feel like it feels very similar to the Ghost Rider roller coaster.
But Ghost Rider fucking gives you, like, whiplash.
Amazing roller coaster. I love Ghost Rider.
Love Ghost Rider, but
one of my
shit.
Favorites. But
that ride whips ass.
For different reasons. Yeah, that's an airtime machine. I love it.
But I get it. But here's, you want to know something? I'll one-up this. It's not even on my top 10. I didn't even have it on my top 10. I'm looking at my top 10 right now, and maybe I don't stand by that, but for whatever reason, it didn't even make it on my top 10. I thought about it, and I thought it's a cool-looking train, but when you boil it down, it's still just a roller coaster, and it's like not doing anything special on those tracks that make me feel like this is a very special vehicle. It looks cool, though.
But I had a thing with trains too as a kid. So like as a little kid, not being down, like let's say like I love Space Mountain. Space Mountain's not making this list. As a little kid, like too afraid to get on most roller coasters, got on Thunder Mountain because I needed to get on that train. It looked so cool.
That's valid.
Heavy train presence on Byron's
list.
Going
around those rocks.
Big fan of the choo-choos.
I mean, that's very Walt too. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call you Choo-Choo Marin from now on.
Yeah. It's a badass looking train.
I just picture young Byron,
talk about people eaters. Capacity on Big Thunder.
It's pretty good.
Efficient
very good for
fuck,
a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I'd say there's about 2,400 riders per hour that get on Thunder Mountain.
I'm just picturing young Byron like rubbing his hands together like Birdman, just looking at this train salivating from like the Big Thunder Ranch area and just going, I got to get on that choo-choo.
Hey, everyone has a thing.
I need to get on that choo-choo, Mama.
You have a train thing.
Mama, I need that choo-choo in my life.
Compliment it.
It's great. It's got good sound effects. I think the greatness of that ride is more the sum of its parts rather than the ride vehicle, though.
Interesting. Yep.
Like, I think the aesthetics of, like, the rock work, all the sound effects, the theming, it's that plays into the train more so than the actual ride vehicle, because I think it's still just a roller coaster, but that's why I didn't make my list.
It's definitely more aesthetic over functionality.
Anyways, moving on to number one here. Number one, I think we could all guess what this is going to be. It's been number one on so many of our lists, but the Indiana Jones Adventure ride vehicle, the trucks. I mean, this was number one across the board for all three of us. I'm going to toss to Byron here because he actually knows more of the technical aspects of this vehicle more so than I do, I would say.
I don't know about that.
I'm going to toss it to you anyway. Byron, why is this ride vehicle special?
Okay, so this was coming off the back when Lucas partnered with Disney to basically bring Star Wars around or bring Star Tours to the park.
Yeah,
that was a huge success. So in the early '90s, they wanted to one up it. So I believe the same Imagineer, Tony Baxter, also worked on Indiana Jones, and they essentially took the simulator concept that they had in Star Tours and implement it onto a moving vehicle.
Yeah.
And I still, there's kind of nothing like it. It's so they are able to program. It's basically, it's run off like computer programming that's like pre-established to make this thing, you know, cross sensors while it's traversing the track and getting the Jeep to move around. As a matter of fact, the Imagineers were basically spending months in a warehouse, you know, with a remote control riding the vehicle and just playing around with certain ways to get it to, you know.
Because it's trackless, right? Or is it not? It's not trackless. Is it trackless?
It's technically, it's technically a track, but it's not. I mean, it's not connected to a track. It's almost like a. It's like
a laser
like
track.
Sensor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
The genius of this ride is the hydraulic system on the ride that actually makes you feel like you're going over rough and rocky terrain when in fact it's the smoothest surface on Earth. It's just there's a computer on the actual vehicle that has programmed motions to make it look like you're careening around a turn or if you're going up and over some bumps. That blew my mind when I figured that out. Like, if you were to look at this vehicle from the side while it's moving forward and you could see that the ground is smooth, but you could see the vehicle is just bouncing up and down. Amazing stuff right
there.
It
is unlike any other experience, I assure you.
Ha, that's good. That's good.
It is unlike anything you have ever experienced, I assure you.
This might be weird, but I feel like when I was little, I couldn't, like, enjoy the ride if I closed my eyes, right?
Yeah.
Because all of it is, like, within that vehicle. I can have such a blast just, like, not seeing anything and just being on the...
I think as a kid, I closed my eyes for a lot of that
Definitely.
Ride. So that was
and
kind
it
of
was
the,
still, like, fucking awesome.
I was terrified that ride the first time I went on it.
And for all of you who are fitness aficionados here, this is an excellent core workout if you want to raise your legs up and just try and stay steady through the entire ride. You just engage that core, and you'll have a six-pack within 2 months if you ride this ride every single day and do that. That's guaranteed. You can take that to the bank.
Oh, and also the headlights. They choose kind of when to go on and off.
Yeah, it's also just I love the addition. I know it's kind of a tease, but I love the addition of a steering wheel in the ride. Even when I was a kid, I was always thrilled when I got that seat.
Everyone wanted to be the driver.
Yeah,
if it was your birthday, you knew you were going to get the driver's seat.
Yeah, I mean, the wheel doesn't even move, honestly. That's kind of a bummer. I feel like they should make the wheel have, like, feedback on it. Like, it can actually move.
Do you guys like those handrails? Like, even when you don't have the wheels, like those rubber handwheels?
Oh, yeah, the rubber handwheels are very good on your hand.
The which is going to be weird because it's like I'm still going to want to, like, rub them one day.
Yeah. Maybe in 2025.
And I'll have my little hand sanny.
Yeah.
I also enjoy
the nets that they have for your belongings.
For your bags. That's like the most
efficient one. Sala describes them as a niftiness of this invention. Or is he talking about the seatbelt? I can't remember.
See the excellence of this.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Here in your transportation devices are ingenious pouches for safekeeping all earthly treasures when the journey becomes a bumpy.
The whole...
It rumbles. The Jeep, like, rumbles.
Oh, no, it's great. And once again, the vehicle itself is built into the storytelling, not only just from the twists and turns and the dips and stuff of the ride, but also when there's a part of the ride where it actually simulates that your car breaks down and you could hear the motor trying to fire back up, which is amazing. Like, you totally buy it. You totally buy everything that they're selling on this ride.
There's a character in itself.
There's straight up a part of this ride where it actually feels like it does a little drift.
Oh, no.
I think it's right before those things start the skeletons start throwing at you.
It's great. Even that also at the end when you're running away from the boulder.
Yeah.
Perfect stop and start capability as well, too. Like, you feel like you're going faster than you are because of the genius of the ride vehicle. But I think we've waxed poetic. Jesus Christ. We've waxed poetic enough about this ride vehicle.
That was number one.
It's number one.
It smells good.
It's great. It does smell good, actually.
So who cares? It's number one.
let's move on to honorable mentions here. These are things that were on our personal list that did not make it onto the main list that we took exception to. Let's start with Amanda.
I have so many.
Well, you're going to have to do one.
Okay. Soarin'.
Ooh, man. Wow. I didn't even think of Soarin'. That's a good one.
Soarin' gets slept on because it's just like a bunch of projections, but really that fucking vehicle makes Soarin'.
You could say that one flew over our heads.
That's very good. Very good.
Nice. Okay. Sick. I'll end on that.
Yeah, that was an oversight.
I mean, we've all heard the story of this one, the Erector set that made the light bulb go off in the Imagineer's head when he realized he could load people in a very fast, efficient way.
Mm.
I love this ride. I love the idea of a motion simulator where you're hanging up in the sky very high. Man, what a ride vehicle. And it dispenses delicious scents into your little nostrils.
Yeah. The vehicle, like, you can watch that projection in a room just, like, sitting there, and it wouldn't have the same effect.
Yeah, and
they mastered a way to have such minimal movement, yet it still felt so authentic.
It's smell-proof, too. A room full of sweaty tourists probably ripping ass wouldn't even know it because of all the great scents that are being dispensed out of the ride vehicle. Wow, I can't believe I did not think of that one. I didn't even put that on my top 10 either. What am I doing over here?
Nice.
I think, like, also I notice often when I make these lists is I forget a lot about California Adventure's attractions.
Me too.
I kind of write off, and then I kind of just hang in Disneyland, and I'm like, oh, like, maybe I should go grab one or two from California Adventure.
There's a lot of bad ones in California Adventure.
There are. There are a lot of bad ones. I don't think we even need to go into that. Byron, what's your honorable mention?
Honorable mention? I'm going to go with Splash Mountain. And
a log
it's for
flume.
The and I didn't want to put this on my list because it is a log flume.
A log flume.
And log flumes were, you know, traversing carnivals and shit long before Splash Mountain existed. But Splash Mountain had the biggest and baddest drop at the time. And when they originally put that log on there, it flooded. So they had to create a new way to dig the front of that log out so that it sprayed sideways as opposed to drowning all the guests.
Huh.
Cool. Also, it's interesting that it's a log flume that some could even debate is a roller coaster because
that one part
does connect to a track before the drops, so it has multifunctionality.
Interesting.
And
well,
Ryan,
I mean,
and
I
Ryan.
Also think, I mean, that's part of the ride too. Like, I would say the log ride, you think of that pretty quickly if you think of Disneyland.
It's fair. It still, though, is a log flume.
I
was so intimidated getting in that log as a kid. I know I always draw back to these early memories.
Valid.
But
you know, his top five lifts is becoming the roller coaster tycoon special. Lots of rides that are often in the basic starter pack for the roller coaster
tycoon
set. I think
you were in your feels.
We got the log flume. Yeah. We got a roller coaster and a train. Speaking of Roller Coaster Tycoon, about like a minute and a half ago, I heard like a laugh from children behind us that sounded exactly like Roller Coaster Tycoon laugh. I did not put that in. I'm going to play it again right now. It like legit took me out of what Byron was saying because I was like, whoa.
Oh, by the way, someone gave me, my brother gave me Planet Coaster for Christmas. It's like Roller Coaster Tycoon on steroids.
Oh, nice.
Can you
I'm
make
afraid,
people like vomit and shit?
I haven't gotten that far into it. I'm in like the sandbox mode where I'm just kind of designing a couple roller coasters. I think if
sweet.
I had to, it's a bit more of a learning curve to it than Roller Coaster Tycoon. So I'm trying to be very careful with my productivity because you could easily fall down the rabbit hole.
Yes.
And then I'll get fired.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Never get anything done. So I'm just like, for the time being, just a couple hours at a time designing roller coasters. And
no, I could see myself sinking some time into that if I got my hands on it. Luckily, I have not. Thus far, because I would get obsessed. I had this thing called Jurassic Park Builder for a sec, and that consumed way too much of my time. But we don't need to get into that. Let's go to my honorable mention. Let's see what I got here. That one's taken. I'm just going down my top five list. Wow. I guess if I'm going by my list, it would be Matterhorn. Now, Matterhorn, I think, is a truly unique ride system in the sense of, first off, it's the first steel tubular roller coaster, if I'm correct, right? I believe that's true.
It is.
And this thing, I almost listed it because of the novelty of it, and part of the novelty of it is that this ride system sucks. It's almost like I hate listed it. I don't enjoy the experience of being on this, but I will say that it is very, very unique. There's no other roller coaster I've been on that really just beats the shit out of you like this ride.
And I think you don't want it to be smooth. Because it's part of the ride now.
It's part of the ride. You're trying to run away from an abominable.
Abominable
snowman. I just said abdominal. That would be like a very different Harold. Just ripped. You're running away from a giant snowman. It's not supposed to be smooth. It's what it's designed to do.
In the 50s, it was great.
It was revolutionary.
It was probably one of the smoothest things out there, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Smoothest butter back then.
They even put water at the bottom because that was a way of breaking it, or not breaking it, but, you know, slowing it down.
Well, you know, in the 50s, they were only about a decade removed from fucking World War II. They were battle-hardened. My little daisy ass getting on this ride, haven't really seen a fight in my life. I'm not going to be able to enjoy this.
The Imagineer that designed it with aerodynamics, Bob Gurr, had to learn trigonometry. Is that right?
Trigonometry
on the fly to...
it shows.
Figure
out. I think so he should have broke out that...
I have to give some of the kinks a hall pass because basically someone like me, but maybe substantially smarter, that had to open up some books and like...
I don't think they should fix it.
I think he should bust out the protractor and work on those angles a little bit better.
I think he's very well retired at this point.
Well, tell him to come out of retirement and fix the ride because it's got a good thing going for it. Really fun design on these bobsleds.
Well, they changed them.
They did.
I don't like them now.
This used to be a really good date ride because you could snuggle up with somebody until you actually started the ride and then realized, oh, I'm infertile now. I can't give birth. Because my balls are damaged beyond repair.
Don't get too excited, Ryan. It's going to break.
Yeah, it's a ball buster. I remember one of my memories of this ride is sitting on my dad's lap, because that's how this ride used to work. You used to lean on the person behind you. And I just remember him not liking the ride very much. And I get it now. Because he had this little fucking cannonball just... really going to town on his nutsack, just pounding that thing.
Dad, like, why are you walking around funny the second half of today? What's going on?
Dad's just going straight to the bar after this ride.
Tip for whenever we're back in there and riding Matterhorn. I would suggest if you have long legs, do not sit in row one or row four. Basically the front row of each cart.
Yeah.
You'll notice that they modified these things now to... For most of the people, they have more leg room. Like, the sides have these pockets where you could kind of stuff your legs back there. It almost hugs around the seat in front of you. However, the first row of each cart does not. It's just like a wall, like, right there in front of your feet. Like, you could feel your legs is jammed up there in the front. Like, they're bent up.
I couldn't imagine if you were, like, you know, fucking Kevin Durant right now.
Yeah, if you play basketball, and especially if you're not a point guard...
It's going to be a rough ride for you. It's going to be a rough ride regardless. It's not a comfortable ride. I don't know why I listed it, but I did list it because it is unique. I just want to say one thing. Interesting that the Tower of Terror Guardians elevator was not listed by anybody. That just occurred
to me. It crossed my mind.
It crossed mine too, but...
It is, I mean, I guess, it, I mean, it is a vehicle.
That's an easy pick.
Is it? I mean, it's not as impressive, though, because it doesn't go forward in Disneyland.
It doesn't. That's the thing. If this was Disney World...
Then it would have to be in the top.
There you go, Amanda. You knew I'd bring up Disney World today.
See?
Yeah, there it is.
I think all of our arguments today can be probably beat by Disney World.
Maybe. Maybe it's because they just take our ideas and then improve upon them and then claim they're original. Anyways, let's move on to dishonorable mentions. And I always forget about this one, so I'm going to come up with one on the fly. Let's start with Amanda, though.
Autopia, just because it's lazy.
Ooh.
Like I appreciate the OG of it all.
It's unique. It is unique.
But I feel like after all this time, you should be able to, like, especially with, like, how kid cars are now, like, you should be able to improve it.
Feels abandoned in a way.
No one cared to, like, help it at all. And no one, I don't know. It's a cool ride. That's why I'm like, more people would flood over there if they just updated it. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You could smell it before you see it. Let's just say that.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Byron?
Dishonorable?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say it. Hold your stones for a sec, because I'm going to explain myself. Going with the monorail.
That's interesting. That's interesting from a guy who listed the railroad.
I do not like, I believe it's called the Mark 7 now. That's the model. I do not like the Mark 7 monorail.
Yeah.
I prefer the ones that are Disney World. I believe are the Mark V, and I know they're going to get rid of them soon, and I'm already bitter about it.
Wait, what's the difference, sir?
I like the interiors more of the Mark V, like that nice, like, blue leather kind of, you know what I'm talking about? Because you've been there.
Yeah, I guess I know what you're talking about.
I like the classic look of those monorails that they've had since like the 80s, which is that nice thin. And you know what? Maybe kids growing up now would think it, they'd look at that and be like, wow, that looks dated and cheesy, but I loved it. They tried to pivot back to like the original model, but then like also futurize it.
Yeah.
And I just don't like the new look. I don't like the seats as much. I don't like the seating setup quite as much. And on top of that, they haven't had AC in that thing for years. Do you see why they
it's
have the
cracked.
Windows cracked?
Yeah.
They don't even put AC in those things.
That's
so
true.
In that regard, I love the monorail, but I wish they would at least get some AC in there, update it. I know that at some point they're going to get rid of the models that they have at Disney World, but I hope I can at least go ride them at least one more time at some point because I prefer those models. And I hope that when they do redo them, they kind of stay more in that vein.
I'm trying to think of a shit vehicle here.
I love the functionality, though. I know that's not the same, but I just feel like it's very useful of a vehicle for a pass holder, at least, I think, to, like, cut through the crowds and shit.
What replaced Luigi's Flying Time?
I also just might be an old man here at this point.
No.
That's fair. I mean,
but I like those, like, white monorails with the strip of, like, you know, different colors, and you see which one you got.
This guy loves monorails, man. Or hates them. I'm not really sure which one, but
yeah, like I love roller coasters. I love trains. I love I love theme parks. I'm like, why am I here, Ryan? I like Disneyland.
What replaced Luigi's Flying Tires?
I feel
that car thing.
Rockin' like Luigi's Rockin' Roadsters.
Yeah,
that thing is stupid too.
Some bullshit. Yeah.
Golden Zephyr is probably the worst, honestly.
Yeah.
That thing is like the most uninspired piece of trash I've ever seen in any Disney theme park. It literally just moves around in a circle with no up and down.
Oh, Jellyfish. That's pretty bad.
I think Golden Zephyr is literally the bare minimum of what could be considered a ride. You'll sit in these like shiny dildo looking like things and they just rotate you around and there's no up and down. It's just
right next to another ride that goes in a circle.
It's not
another
a great
swing ride.
And you wanna ride. If you wanna consider safety, the Zephyr I think is just like a plastic seatbelt.
Yeah,
that
I mean
you can just snap.
I don't think they had to worry about guest safety because there's no.
I don't know. Every time
on
I'm
it.
On it, like I feel like I'm like I don't know. I don't mind if I fall off. I deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's never any guests on there to protect, so I don't think anyone's using that seatbelt since it opened.
Oh, before we close out, what do you guys think about the Peter Pan vehicles?
So, okay.
Oh, that was on my top 10.
That was on my honorable mention list.
I had it on mine too, and I totally forgot.
Very great. A lot of that, I feel like the ride vehicle was cool. The hanging aspect of it is fun. A lot of that is set deck too, though.
Yeah,
that really brings that to life. I don't know how much of that.
But that
has
was
to do
one
with
of those opening day, I think, attractions. So
it's
that's pretty
it's
cool
great.
At the time that they were below the track. I have a love hate thing with it though, because that thing does not fit many people.
It
doesn't. Takes forever to load people.
It does take forever to load.
And man, is that queue frustrating.
Feels like it goes forever.
It's like, it looks like 5 to 8 switchbacks tops, yet it's an hour wait.
I just don't think
time.
It can handle it.
It just moves so slow.
You look at that it and track. You look, that looks like a 10-minute wait. And I hope you pack some snacks because you're going to be in that line for an hour, probably. Not great. Anyways. Any last words on this one? I guess that was the last word talking about Peter Pan. So I guess that does it for this episode of the Saddest Pound Cast on Earth. I don't know what happened with my voice there. That was an unintentional Western accent. I guess we'll see you next time. Follow us on social media at Saddest Pod on both Instagram and Twitter. And I guess we'll see you next time.